systems go. Prepare for countdown. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Blast off to adventure in the amazing year 400 billion.
Obscene, dirty, filthy, immoral.
What are you people? On dope?
Boom, that's right. Welcome to the Jam Hole. Today is Wednesday, March 5th, 2008. If you're keeping track, I'm one of your hosts, Matt.
And this is Braden.
Braden filling in for Travis tonight. Travis had some other things to do, so he's not with us, but he will be back Friday, as far as I know. Since, you know, we're still getting started here on the Jam Hole, this is episode 6, if you're also keeping track, which I am now. We're going to try and keep a firm schedule. I kind of wanted to do it more than just once a week because, you know, it's a new thing to me. It's like a new toy. I just got it. I got to play with it. And, you know, the more we do it, the better we're going to get, the more structure the show's going to have and all that other bullshit. So, the schedule is from now on, as best as we can, will be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Those are when to keep an eye out on the new shows. So, how was your day today? Anything exciting happen in your world?
Today was pretty boring, but I've had an interesting week.
Yeah, why don't you, interesting how?
Well, band practice as usual, it's going good. We're getting close to finishing a CD anyway.
Nice. What's your band called?
Mass Bloodshed.
Excellent. And you guys can be found on MySpace and all the other
on
places.
MySpace.
Good, good, good. What's the address? MySpace.com/massbloodshed. Right on. Get out there, check it out. These guys play some fucking hard ass metal shit. It's good. It's good stuff. So that's the beginning of Jam Hole episode 6. I kind of wanted to talk about the Jam Hole Million. What I was going to think about calling it is a million to one, which means a million of you each give us a dollar, and that will make us millionaires. And then we'll continue and get, you know, more people to give the next person a dollar. And then, you know, we do this enough times, we will totally transfer the whole amount of financial wealth totally to the other side. But the important thing is to get ours first, because we started it.
And of course, feel free to make a Jam Hole shirt,
or stickers, shirts, whatever. Whatever
Jannies.
You want to do to support your local Jam Hole podcast. So, you know, one thing I was thinking about today while I was driving to Libby and back from Libby and stuff is, you know, we have all these problems with old people driving cars and, you know, most of them are disabled and shit like that. And it's like, you know, I was thinking, if you take away their licenses, they don't need to drive anymore. Not only will that make the roads safer for you and me, it will free up all the good parking spots. You notice how when you go anywhere, all the good parking spots are handicapped?
Well, and I've also noticed that there's always way more handicapped parking than there needs to
be,
too.
Yeah, I mean, and seriously, if you think about it, if they're handicapped, they obviously don't have a job, and they're really not in a hurry to go anywhere. So really, they could park way the fuck out there and save, you know, the upfront parking for those of us that have jobs, that have schedules, that have shit that needs doing. And, you know, let us take those spots. Fuck them. They're handicapped. And you know what? Most of the handicapped people have wheelchairs, which is like a little car in itself. So they can just roll right down to where they need to go. They don't need to be taking up our good parking spots.
And why aren't they taking advantage of all the public transportation made specifically for
them? No shit. I mean, they bitch and complain. It's like, you don't have any handy accessible ramps and this and that. And then, you know, they spend all this fucking money where they could be spending it in other places or giving it to us for the Jam Hole.
Exactly.
And then they don't even fucking use that shit. They're like greedy little fucking ungrateful kids, but they're handicapped. They're like little kids that need their asses wiped for them. And I can say this shit because when I'm old and handicapped like that, I would expect someone to just put me out of my misery. Fuck, I would do the same for you.
Seriously, who wants to be old anyway?
I know. I figure the more cigarettes I smoke, the more of a chance I have to get cancer, the quicker I'll be done. And, I mean, 65, 70 tops. And if by the time I'm 70 and I'm, like, in a wheelchair and no one's done me the solid of taking me out, I'll fucking just roll myself off. I don't even care. I'll find, like, the Grand Canyon up here somewhere and I'll just roll my fucking wheelchair off it. Fucking old people.
Seriously.
So, let's see. You got anything else you wanted to get into before we hit some news stories here?
Well, I had something kind of interesting happen.
Well, spit it out, Junior.
Well, I had a interview the other day at a restaurant I won't name.
Okay.
And
lots of good restaurants around here,
of course,
that need lots of dishwashers and shit.
And so after my interview, I go outside and I see one of my buddies who happens to work there having a smoke break. So I go over there and talk to him, and we're just hanging out or whatever. And this guy comes out, and he's got a whole cake that they keep in the display cases in the front. And it's they keep the cakes in on a plastic plate with a big lid on top of it.
Yeah.
And normally when you sell that to someone, they don't give you that. They just give you the cake.
Right, they put it in a box or
yeah,
something
exactly.
like that.
And so my friend goes up to him and he asks him if he has a receipt. And he's like, no, I don't. But he's like, okay, well, you should come inside with me to make sure that you paid for this.
Right, he's not jacking your fucking cake.
Yeah, and so he's like, all right. And then he runs.
Really?
Yeah, he starts like, hauling ass running with this fucking
with
cake in his hand.
Holy shit,
and
dude.
So we fucking start chasing him down to try and get this cake from him, and he fucking keeps running.
Really?
Finally, we catch him, and he gives up, and we're like, dude, what were you doing trying to
what
take a cake?
What the fuck? It's a cake, dude.
I know.
If you're hungry, ask. I'll give you some
seriously.
Saltines.
It's like, fuck, man.
So today I saw, if you remember, a couple episodes ago we were talking about that homeless chick that stands down by Woodland Park.
Right.
I was coming back and I saw her out there again today, and I wasn't prepared. I didn't have the stack of job applications I wanted to give her, but she got herself a new sign, and instead of saying, fell on hard times, anything will help, now it says, I'm homeless, anything will help, or something like that. I was kind of going the other way, but man, every time I see that lady, I just get so pissed. It's like all this time you spend wasting your fucking breath out here in the cold asking people for their money, and you could be going out and getting your own, you fucking lazy fat bitch, you know?
Well, the thing is that not funny you mentioned fat is how is she so fat if she's homeless?
I know, right? You would think that survival skills would determine that you, if you're homeless, you're probably eating scraps, not fucking full course meals and shit. And this lady, like, looks like she probably goes to McDonald's and spends like $5 on double cheeseburgers for a dollar each.
She's just, as like, wide as she is tall.
She is, almost literally.
Yeah.
It is a sight to see. So, yeah, every time I see her, I just want to throw something at her. But then every time I see her, I'm in the work truck, which has the name and the number, and that could turn into just a huge mess and would probably end up making me homeless and her nice and rich. Not that I really have anything to sue for. She could have this mixer and, you know, this computer. Could you imagine what she would do if she had a podcast, like what she would talk about? Day one, I sat outside and had my most biggest sad face on and asked people for money. Day two, got money thrown at me, still have my sad face on. Day three, got a turkey leg thrown at me, sad face still there. And, like, I watch her and shit, because I was sitting at a stop sign, and she, like, kind of looks around, and then she puts on, like, the sad face, and then she'll, like, kind of look around to make sure no one's watching, and she'll pull out a cigarette, and she'll start smoking it. And it's like, bitch, if you can fucking afford to smoke cigarettes, you didn't fall on that hard of times, obviously, unless she's, like, digging them out of ashtrays or some shit.
Probably butts,
yeah. That's a good way to spread hepatitis.
Another thing, I see her at one of the restaurants around here all the time too.
Really? Eating?
Yeah, I don't know how she gets some money.
She
for
must
that.
Make some good cash.
I don't know.
They did a report about that a long time ago about some people that did that kind of shit in California, and obviously, I mean, LA is much more densely populated than Kalispell is. So, and the guy went up to him and was like, you know, seriously, how much money do you make? And he's like, honestly, I make about $100 to $200 a day.
Yeah.
And it's like, damn, dude, that's more than we make.
And homeless people don't have it that bad, other than the fact they don't have a home.
Right.
Really.
But if you're homeless in a warm place, I mean, it's just like camping. It's urban camping, pretty much. Yeah, you can really do that here because it gets like 40 below and snows. But I mean, if you had some good thick newspapers, you could probably keep warm.
You know what I just thought of?
What did you just think of?
We should find that homeless lady.
An interviewer?
Yeah, that
on
too.
The jam hole.
We should follow her around and just record what she does all day. You know what? Where she sleeps and all that
stuff.
That's
a good idea. But what else we should do is see, like, if we could give her money to do fucked up shit.
That'd be awesome.
It's like, how bad do you want $5? All right, eat that piece of dog poo. All right. Well, let's get into some news stories here. I'll start us off here, and we have a recurring theme in a few of the stories, and if you can guess what that is, congratulations. And here we go. 12 Americans indicted in online child porn ring.
Bum,
bum, bum. That's news. Washington. After James Freeman was vetted and approved for membership in what police describe as a highly sophisticated child porn network, he expressed his appreciation by posting two folders online, one labeled mild, the other wild.
Oh.
I know, right?
Nice.
It's
that's
like
catchy.
Kindergarten kids gone wild. Oh, man.
How sophisticated can a child porn ring be, though?
I know. Like, what are they doing? I mean, cameras to take pictures? Unless they're dressing up in, like, Barney suits and going out there and being like, oh, boys and girls, we're going to play a game. It's called Undress Yourself. Ah, the first one to undress himself wins. And then, like, the whole time he's there taking pictures and she's like, oh, yeah, this is good. Oh, yeah. Here's a quote. All I can say is that they are worth the download, wrote Freeman, known in the global porn ring as Mystical. Ooh, according to court documents. My thanks to you and all the others that together make this the greatest group of pedos ever to gather in one place.
That's awesome.
That's his quote.
Greatest group of pedos.
I know. That's like the best quote ever. I mean, way to fucking incriminate yourself.
No joke.
Freeman was one of 12 Americans indicted last week in a worldwide investigation that ultimately charged 22 people with participating in the porn ring and intentionally blocking police from investigating it. That's how they got high tech. They were like fucking triple encrypting. You would think if these pedos would spend like half of the amount of effort they put into like getting kids to like get naked and take their pictures and put them up online, if they put half of that time into finding like an actual girlfriend, they probably wouldn't be too bad off, you know.
Yeah, probably not, but you know.
Yeah, but like I guess then they wouldn't be pedos, right?
Yeah, that's true.
And then we wouldn't have anything to read about today. In all, more than 400,000 pictures, video files, and other images showing children engaged in sexual behavior were produced, traded, and distributed globally in the online porno ring, according to U.S. and international authorities. The sting, which started in Australia, also netted accused pornographers in England, Canada, and Germany. So it's not just our sick fucks.
Yeah.
It's like a worldwide sick fuck thing.
That's where the network comes in.
I know, right? So how do you... There's something seriously got to be wrong about things like that. I mean, that's like when girls that are over 18 shave their fucking pussies to look bald and shit, and it's like the guys are like, oh, it reminds me of a 12-year-old pussy and shit. It's like, if you quit doing shit like that, and if magazines and shit and places, you know, other media outlets would quit saying that kind of shit's sexy, you know, these guys wouldn't see it, and they wouldn't be like, oh, this reminds me of this and this and this. Fucking disgusting sickos. Some victims were as young as 5 years old. Others were preyed upon for innocent characteristics such as wearing their hair in pigtails.
Wow.
I know, right?
What else can
you say? It's like they used to sit around and watch Pippi Longstocking and jack each other off to it or something. Authorities won't say how they eventually broke through several layers of encryption, background checks, and other security measures the pornographers used to protect their online user group from being accessed.
Some geeky motherfuckers.
I know. It looks like they had several layers of encryption. I mean, wow. Fucking that's, wow.
That's actually impressive.
That is kind of impressive. It's, you know, it's too bad they weren't doing it with, you know, for something decent.
Yeah.
I mean, who the fuck wants to look at a bunch of naked little kids? It's just, it's stupid. There's, I'm not even going to get into it. It's just stupid.
Just grow up.
You guys
up.
Are stupid. Yeah, grow up, literally.
Yeah.
These are the guys that were always singing, like, the Toys R Us kid theme song. They're like, I don't want to grow up. Fucking weirdos. This is beyond a quantum exponential leap. You remember Quantum Leap?
Yeah, I was thinking
that
of
dude
that.
With Ziggy, he's always like tapping that thing. It's like, oh, Ziggy says you got to do something else, otherwise you can't quantum leap back. A quantum exponential leap for us to see folks that have gone to this much trouble to produce this kind of volume of horrific exploitation of children, Tidwell said in an interview. You know, the only other thing I can think of that stacks up to that kind of exploitation of children is Disneyland.
Yeah, actually.
Ooh, yeah.
Damn.
I know. So far, authorities have identified and rescued 20 of the children who were exploited, he said, adding, but with 400,000 images, we're going to be at this for years. Trying to find the victims.
Wow, that was a pretty big bust.
Years, though. I mean, could you imagine? They probably have, like, semi-truck containers full of, like, little Asian kids and shit just waiting to be fucking exploited.
Oh, God.
So what do you got here?
Let's see. I got molester leaps to death at courthouse.
Hmm?
Yeah, I know.
Flying pedos?
Flying pedos.
It's like Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Awesome. See, Santa Ana, California, a 52-year-old man jumped to his death from a courthouse balcony hours after being convicted of a child molestation, authorities said.
Wow.
Awesome. At least that's one less that we have, right?
That's true. And I mean, you know what? They're just going to put him in jail, and then we would have to support him pretty
much.
Yeah,
we'd be paying for him to be in jail. We should just kill these motherfuckers in the
first
place.
I know, as is. It's like, are you going to get better? Nope. Okay. Shot to the head.
That would save a lot of money.
Problem solved, man. If only we were presidents.
No joke. So Carlos Edward Tello was facing more than 20
Carlos?
Years.
Carlos.
More than 20 years in prison when he jumped from a ninth floor balcony of the Central Justice Center in Santa Ana Tuesday afternoon.
How do you suppose he got up there? I mean, usually when the prisoners are being transported, you know, to the courtroom and back,
yeah,
they're like,
yeah, you think he'd be in handcuffs and
well,
shit?
Yeah.
How did he get
shackled
up there?
Shackled from head to toe, right. 25 wood to Izzo with nowhere to gizzo. I know. Fucking Snoop Dogg. Cool.
A suicide note tucked into his clothing. Oh, okay.
He took the time to write a suicide note.
Who fucking cares? Everyone's
right?
Like, awesome, he's dead.
He's like, what do you think the suicide note read? Dear world, I fucked little kids, and I got caught going to jail. Love ya, XOXO. In lowercase, of course.
Yeah, of course. Deputy District Attorney Heather Brown tried to have Tello's bail revoked and have him taken into custody immediately after the verdicts were announced. She said he was carrying a suicide note when he was arrested in 2006 in the case and that he might be in danger.
Oh, so he, like, wrote this note way before he even got caught.
Yeah, he must have been planning it.
Yeah, well, you know, you never know when you might need a good suicide note.
You never
whether
know.
To plant on someone else or for your own personal use.
Of course they didn't release a suicide note. That's the most interesting part.
I know, right? That I'd like to delve into this sicko's head and see exactly why he did what he did. Fucking weirdos.
Because he's fucked in the head.
Because he
why.
Likes little kids. God.
What more do
you know
need,
what?
Because
probably he was molested when he was a kid, and his father before that, and his uncle before that. And it just, it's a never-ending vicious cycle of touchy-feely.
Yeah. That's why we just need to kill him.
Yep, just kill him. Burn him at the stake.
Superior Court Judge Gregory Prickett.
Prickett.
declined to revoke Tello's bail instead of ordering him to return to the Fullerton courtroom by 4:30 p.m.
So no bail.
No bail.
And you want to talk a little louder?
No, sorry.
Yeah, just saying. Don't apologize to me. Apologize to the listeners.
Just after 4 p.m. at the Santa Ana courthouse, an alarm sounded that someone had entered a restricted area, said Orange County Sheriff Spokesman Jim Amornio.
Wow.
You think the doors would just be locked in the first
yeah,
place?
Yeah, how is
he
getting in there? He probably sold some of that child porn to, like, a janitor or something in trade for
there,
the key.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, I might need to kill myself if I get convicted. And the guy's like, if, Holmes, you're going to jail. And he's like, fuck, I need that key. Here's a picture.
See, here's a quote. He said, nobody's stopping me. A more
what?
Fuck his name said. And he jumped.
Nobody's stopping me, and then that was it.
Yeah, that was it, and they just jumped.
Wow. Have you ever watched anyone, like, plummet to their death like that? Like, just from jumping off anything tall?
No, I haven't.
Me neither. But wouldn't that be a sight to see?
Yeah, that would be a sight to see.
All right. Moving right along here. Care home staff fired for taking inappropriate photos. Man,
what?
The more I do this podcast, the more I realize that the human race is just a bunch of self-destructive fucking idiots, pretty much.
And I notice how, especially news here, you never hear anything good. It's just...
Well,
like
no one... That's the whole news persona. Well, I don't... It's not persona, but their whole... I don't know what the word is for it, but no one wants to read about happy stuff. They all want to read about... That's our self-destructive nature right there. They
that
all,
says a lot about
we
us.
We want to read about... I mean, look, we're not doing a podcast about all the happy puppies and snuggles that are happening in the world. We're reading about the fucking molesters and the murderers and, you know, all the fucked up shit that happens. Because that's what people want to hear about.
Yep.
And if you guys email us and say, hey, we want to hear about puppies and snuggles, then fuck, we'll read about puppies and snuggles. I have no problem with it. They're all just words to me, man. Oh, let's see. The company that runs the Summerlin Seniors Village, fucking old people, see, again, has confirmed that one employee was fired and two resigned after inappropriate photographs of seniors in their care were taken. Ugh.
What?
Could you imagine? Like, I don't even want that picture in my head.
Yeah.
Geezer
porn? No.
No. Oh, that's so gross. Look at his old balls. They're like leather. With a little piece of jerky sticking out.
That's worse than the pedophilia people.
That, yeah, right?
It's like, that's disgusting.
I don't know. So, okay, if you had to pick between fucking an old person and fucking a child, what would you do? Plead the fifth?
Plead the fifth.
All right. Good enough. One employee was fired after the health authority investigated the allegations of emotional abuse of residents at the care home, he said. And you know what? That's just like when those old people like constantly asking some guy the same question because they don't remember anything. And the guy
right.
just probably got fed up and was like, you know what? Fuck it. And just bam, punched him. An employee who took the photos and another who witnessed the photo taking but did not report it both resigned. It is unfortunate that from time to time, healthcare, like any other industry, is full of scumbags confronted by unacceptable actions and misguided individuals. But what's important is that procedures are in place to deal with them quickly and effectively. How do you think they found that shit and, like, confronted them? They just, like, printed out the pictures and came into their room and just, like, dropped them on the floor and was like, whoops. Ooh, I wonder whose these are. These wouldn't be your naughty old senior porn pictures, would they? And they're like, wasn't me.
Here's an idea. Why don't we just get rid of old folks' homes altogether and just kill them in the first place? That'd
well,
save even more money.
We couldn't get rid of the homes because old people's parent or old people's kids, I should say, don't feel like taking care of them, which
yeah,
is why
they
true. Send
that's
their fucking...
That's why they send them away, because they hate old people, too.
That's right. They're like, I swear to God, if I have to clean your diaper out one more time, I'm going to fucking just kill you myself before the old age does it. And,
yeah,
you know,
that's when you know it's time to just give up and die.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
need a
just fucking die. They're like, oh, you grabbed my pants. Come wipe me. And could you imagine having to do that? And then imagine that there's people that actually go there to do this kind of shit. They get on the inside so they can take naughty pictures of it. But that kind of brings us to the other side of it. These people wouldn't take the pictures if there weren't other people out there that wanted to see them.
Yeah.
You sick fucking idiots. Health Minister George Abbott said on Tuesday what the staff did was shocking. No
really?
Shit. He's like, it was shocking, but I have a whole collection at home myself. He said the 80-unit facility was brand new at the time the offenses took place. When a new facility comes online, obviously you have to staff up very quickly to provide the care in those facilities, he said. And see, that's another problem there, is they pretty much just hire anybody, because, you know, they need people, because no one wants that shitty fucking job.
Yeah, I wonder if they even background check those people.
I doubt it. They're
not.
Just like, oh, you want to work here? They're like, surprised that someone actually wants to work there. They're just like, sure,
yeah.
Fuck fucking
gotta know something's up then.
Yep. And when you do that, you may have the staff who don't have the depth of experience of someone who may have been working in the facility for a large number of years and know how not to get caught.
How much experience do you need to work there anyway?
I know. It's like wipe ass front to back if it's a girl, back to front if it's a guy, or whatever. Families concerned about care home. A woman who pulled her parents out of the Summerlin Seniors Village said she's disturbed but not surprised by the allegations of abuse leveled against the home. She's not surprised?
Yeah.
Then why would you put your parents there? Or why would you put anyone there? They're like, ooh, looks like you have some... What, like, oh my god, when you first bring in your grandma and the janitor's like, I fucking her. Like, not... physically, but you know, yeah. he's looking at her with those eyes, those I'm undressing you in my mind, I'm mind fucking you, and she's like, oh, looks safe to me, and dumps her off, and grandma don't know where the fuck she's at. She's like, are we here yet?
That's probably why they dump him off there in the first place.
I know, it's either that or do the old dog trick and like take him out to the park, throw a stick, he goes and gets it, and you take off.
That's a good idea.
Fucking A. Except that old people can't run or remember to fetch the stick when you throw it. Valerie Tukala's mother and father were in the assisted living wing. Oh, she put them both there.
Damn.
It's like, mom and dad, I'm getting rid of them both in one fell swoop. Her mother and father were in the assisted living wing at the facility in 07, but stayed only 5 months because it failed to deliver a games room, a library, and quality food. You know, wow. I could see the first couple of things, but quality food, come on.
Yeah.
You got to feed the old people, otherwise they might die, God forbid.
Imagine that.
I know, right? The food, I wouldn't feed my dog. It was like processed stuff.
What? Processed stuff?
What kind of stuff are we talking about? Like processed shit? Or like, I mean, what? A quality meal for them would be macaroni and cheese that was so overcooked, it was hard and crunchy. That's kind of the way I like it.
Yeah, that's how
but
I
not
like
overcooked,
it.
A little undercooked. Dr. Paul Hasselbeck, a medical health officer with Interior Health, said abuse allegations at Summerlin Seniors Village were investigated and the operator took appropriate action. He bookmarked the site all the naughty pictures were on.
Oh, man.
All right. I am so sick of old people, I swear. Vote Tim Henson in 08. He'll get rid of him. He promised.
Let's see, we got another story.
All right, what
here.
Do you got here?
Let's see, Woodenville, Washington. See, three multimillion-dollar homes in a Seattle suburb were destroyed in a fire on Monday, and authorities were investigating a sign found near the scene that raised suspicions a radical environmental group might have set the blaze.
Fucking hippies. And these aren't just hippies. These are hippies with, like, plastic C4 and fucking machine guns
and
shit.
They actually know what they're doing.
Right?
The FBI and the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives.
The ATF.
Ooh, nice.
Ooh.
Local law enforcement are investigating the fire, which also damaged two other homes in the Street of Dreams. Oh, that's a good place
yeah,
to hit.
That
Street
sounds
of Dreams.
Like where I'd want to live.
Yeah. A showcase for luxury homes as a possible act of terrorism, according to the FBI spokesman.
Terrorism on our own soil?
No.
Fuck that.
Imagine
shit.
That.
I know, right?
Let's see, a hand-painted sign which carried the initials of the Earth Liberation Front.
Or ELF, ELF.
ELF?
Do you think that's just a fucking...
I don't know if that's coincidence or not.
Weird. ELF.
A band of radical activists blamed for several arsons in the U.S. Pacific Northwest in recent years.
Who are known to go around and start fires wearing little pointed elf ears and little green fucking garb. They look like Link from The Legend of Zelda.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Let's see. The sign shown on local television read, built green. Nope, black.
What?
I don't get
they're racist
that.
Now?
I guess.
Why do you gotta bring colored people into this?
Oh, I don't think they can't be racist, though, because these sound like pretty rich houses, and like black people are living in any rich houses.
Yeah, not unless they stole them. Ugh.
Oh.
I know, right?
That was good.
Thanks.
Authorities would not comment on the authenticity of the banner.
Way to sound that one out.
Yeah, that was good, huh?
Oh, like they thought maybe they were framed. Maybe it was like the owners of the houses deciding that maybe it sucked living up here anyway, so they just burned the house instead of like cutting their losses and running. And then they collect on the insurance money, so they like set up a sign that said Elf did it. Elf was here.
Elf was here.
That's great.
In advertisements, developers of the destroyed homes touted their built green standards such as super insulated walls and windows to save on the energy costs and products made from recycled materials.
Right.
Okay.
So they're pissed that these houses were made with, like, brand new trees as opposed to old recycled trees.
What's the difference?
I know, right?
No one was living in the furnished homes, which are used by developers to show off the latest in luxury housing design and landscaping.
Oh, they were, like, template fucking mansion homes. Like, just the show homes, though. But, like, they template out, like, three different models, and then they build them all full, and then people can look at them and say, I want this one. I want this one. And that's how you end up having these huge housing developments, and every, like, other house is exactly the fucking same. We have a lot of that up here.
Yeah, we do,
like,
have
up by
lot.
Whalebone and Foy's now, and then up by Ashley. It's everywhere.
Well, there's a lot of big houses around here now, too.
Go home, you fucking scumbags.
What was the point in even doing this in the first place?
I know, you just burn it, and then they're just going to build them again. It's not like you hurt them any, unless they were in the house when you burned it.
Yeah.
But they obviously didn't think that through, because they burned the show houses. And the only people living in show houses are fucking hobos.
Pretty much. <That'd laughs>
Which I guess that's a good idea.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Shit, yeah. So, well, what do you want to do next? I kind of wanted to get into some robot stuff, some hoo-ah news.
Robots.
HumansUnitedAgainstRobots.com. We're kind of piggybacking off of them, and Keith only really goes through that, you know, every now and then. So we're going to kind of go through them a little more often, if that's cool with him. I'm sure it is. You know, we're spreading the hoo-ah word. So first hoo-ah story. Scientist: terrorists may use robots in future attacks. Terrorist groups may soon deploy killer robots against unsuspecting civilians, a British researcher warned Wednesday. Professor Noel Sharkey of the University of Sheffield, in an address given to a defense-oriented think tank in London, pointed out that combat robots, or autonomous weapons systems, were already being used by several countries. And the whole hoo-ah thing about this is, you give these robots full-on fucking weapons. No, you know, ammo, weapons, and then what's to stop them eventually, once the AI gets intelligent enough, it's aware that the humans are a greater risk to the whole world than the robots are. They're just going to take us out. That'll be that.
All the robots will just team up and destroy all
of us. Exactly. It's going to be like fucking Terminator all over again. And if you've been watching the Sarah Connor Chronicles, hopefully this will have a better ending, because that was shit. I downloaded the first fucking episode, watched it, it was awesome. Downloaded the next six, they were all great. I was all stoked for the fucking 2-hour season finale. The first half of it was great, and then the second half was just shit. They just fucking ended it, like, and they hyped it up so much. I wouldn't have been so pissed, except for I was watching the commercials for it, and they were like, oh, everything will be explained, things you've never seen before, and all this. And then they fucking get through it, and they just ended it. And, oh, I was so pissed. I was like, I was very glad I didn't fucking pay money to see it or anything like that.
Like you would anyway.
I know, fucking assholes. Let's see. We're already being used by several countries. The trouble is that we can't really put the genie back in the bottle, he said. Hey, this sounds familiar. Didn't we read this before?
In other hoo-ah news?
Because I feel like a real jackass if we did. Maybe I just heard it on another podcast. Anyway, well, we'll finish it out. Basically, robots are getting weapons, and they're being mass-produced, and they're going to kill us pretty soon, so we got to put a stop to that shit.
We just need to not quit we just need to stop experimenting with stuff like this.
Well, and that's the problem about it, because once we develop something like that, it'll be very easy to reverse engineer, and then anybody will have killer robots. I mean, it's not that hard to do, I'm sure, especially with the technology that's out there. You could probably build one of these for very cheap, and then you just give it a gun, give it a picture of someone, and say, "Terminate them," and that's it, you know? And then the other thing is, once big countries compete over something, like, they all have to just push forward. They don't care about the consequences. You know, once they start going at it, they're going to go at it till it's done, until theirs is better than the other countries. And that's how it keeps upping itself. And pretty soon, you can't stop it. You know, you've created this monster that is artificially intelligent, and it's going to start coming after us, man. And we have to stop that shit. Hoo-ah. What's your hoo-ah story? Hopefully one we didn't read already.
Hopefully.
Oh, I'm an idiot.
Anyone who has seen the movie the Matrix, or iRobot, knows that it is completely justified in saying that artificial intelligence in robots is a bit like Spider-Man. With great power comes great responsibility.
I hate that quote.
Oh, man, it's so overused.
Oh, God.
In Japan, however, engineering students are harnessing the power not for world domination, but rather for expressing themselves.
Right,
sort of.
For now. And it's not going to be...
robots.
It's not going to be... real bots. It's not going to be the humans harnessing it for world domination. It's going to be the robots all of a sudden becoming consciously aware of itself and its surroundings, and it's going to be like, wow, look at... It's going to look at us like we look at locusts. We're just going to be another parasite getting in its way, and it's going to fucking full-on destroy us.
Well,
and when that shit happens, I hope you're all ready for it, because it is coming. It's coming hard.
Yeah, and they're going to realize how much we suck, too, because we realize it. So
I know.
Take
and
us
if
out.
We created them, that's what that whole Ray Kurzweil book, Spiritual Machines, when Computers Exceed Human Intelligence. And that whole book, the whole basis of it is, can one intelligence create another intelligence that becomes more intelligent than what created it? And eventually, once we finish mapping out the human brain and we get all these neural network computers put together, it's going to happen. We're going to have, you know, and later on in the show tonight, we're going to go through some of these predictions Kurzweil makes, because they are very interesting. And you can see some of it already happening. So, you know, we got to watch out for that shit.
At a university lab in the surrounding suburbs of Tokyo, students are working to perfect the robot, Kensei, or Sensibility. This robot is wired to simulate 6 separate emotions on its robotic face. Anger,
oh, cool.
Fear, happiness, sadness, surprise, and disgust.
Right. Let's make it have disgust, fear, and fucking hatred. Those would be 3 perfect emotions for a robot bent on killing us.
Given robots emotions in the first place is
yeah.
a stupid
Why
idea anyway.
Why would you
anyway.
Do that?
Yeah, what's the point?
Oh, my God.
It's just for all the lonely people that
right.
are too scared to talk to a girl. They just want their own personal robot that
but
they can fuck.
But then just make the vagina. I mean, make the parts you need, really. Do you need the robot to talk to you? I don't think so. Do you need it to give you feedback? No, you need it to have a warm, moist place you can put your thing in. That's all.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all anyone really needs.
I know. And women, too. God damn it. Y'all talk too fucking much. And about shit. Talk about something interesting. Maybe we'll listen. Sorry. Yeah.
Kensei is able to achieve this task through a database of word associations. For example, when the robot hears war... Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, let's teach it war right off the bat. Let's teach it war, give it a gun, teach it hatred, and say, go kill. That's a fantastic idea.
That is... They need to take a sign from this right here. Okay... When it hears war, it responds with looks like fear and disgust.
Right, it's scared. So once it becomes self-aware, it's going to be scared for its life, for itself.
And it's going to defend itself.
Exactly, and it's going to defend itself against us. So, yeah, we need to put a serious stop to this shit, because the law of accelerating return says this technology exponentially grows. So once we hit a certain point, it's just going to grow on its own. We're not going to have any more control over any of the shit it does. And that's when Skynet is going to launch some missiles and blow some serious shit up.
It really is like Terminator, isn't
it? Like Terminator and the Matrix.
And iRobot.
And iRobot.
iRobot is a good example.
But it's really going to happen. And it's really happening. They're already making neural network computers. I mean, teaching a computer to play chess, which they did. Chess is a strategic game of war, pretty much. Your whole objective is to kill and conquer your opponent. So you give the robot feelings, you give it weaponry, and then you teach it strategy. please keep doing it. I can't wait to watch these robots just start killing things, because I'm going to still be up here in the mountains of Montana laughing my fucking ass off.
Yeah, it's a little safer up here.
Fucking
A,
man, until they make the robots walk like us instead of be, you know, just tanks. Then we'll be down underground in caves defending our lives. But then, you know what? Life will be so much more fun.
Yeah, well, because
fuck this going to work every day, this monotonous fucking minimum wage 9-to-5 bullshit. When you're out there every day trying to survive and it's because your life is in danger, that's what I'm talking about. I can't fucking wait.
Another thing about here, though, is I think we have, like, the second largest stockpile of
missile silos and shit.
Yeah,
oh,
underground
we probably
silos.
Do.
Well, it's all the mountains we got.
Right. They're like, hey, let's stick some missiles in here. This looks like a good hiding place.
Yeah. see, back to the story.
Anything else in there?
While Japan and the rest of the world is nowhere near simulating the emotional complexity of humans, think Sci-Fi Channel.
Right. Basically, they're just giving the robot word association for now.
Yeah.
But once, you know, like I said again, once the robots get intelligent enough, it's going to have access to all the information that's on the internet. It's going to see, for one, all the fucked up things people do to each other and to where we're living, our environment, our habitat, you know, and it's going to look at that and be threatened. And it's going to use all this word association. It's going to be like, disgust, kill, and then that's it.
Yeah, let's see. This new trend is just another advancement in the robotics revolution that's been happening for many years.
Yep.
In fact, robots are so present in Far Eastern industry, they are often a staple in Japanese factories, with even some welcomed on their first day at work with Shinto religious ceremonies.
Fuck that, man. Crazy. If I was welcomed at work by a robot, I would freak the fuck out.
Yeah, that's when you know it's time to stop. So, what should we do? Should we get into some...
Yeah, I was kind of looking up here the law of accelerating returns, because Kurzweil worded it really well here, and I kind of wanted to go into that, and then we'll get into some of his predictions, if I can find it here. It started out as Moore's Law, and basically back in 1972, it's like a graph. What year compared to how many transistors in Intel's latest computer chip? So we start out back in 72, they had 3,500 transistors on their latest chip at that time. And then two more years, it doubles to 6,000. Four more years, 29,000. In 1982, they're at 134,000, all the way up to 1997, we're at 7,500,000. And you see how it just exponentially grows
faster
and
faster.
Once they get to the quantum level or to the atomic level, being able to fit all these, you know, it's just going to explode. And that's kind of the basis of the law of accelerating returns. It was basically based on Moore's Law here. And here's the graph. I mean, no one can really see this, so fuck it. Let's just get right into the predictions.
Start with 2009.
Should we start from 99?
Well, I guess, start from 99, because that's
already happened. This book was written, I think, in 97 or 98. So, let's see. Okay, here, we'll just start out. If all the computers in 1960 stopped functioning, nobody would really notice. A few thousand scientists would, you know, see delays here and there, but nothing to worry about, really. Now, fast forward to circa 1999, it's a whole nother matter. If all computers stopped functioning, society would basically grind to a halt. All electric power distribution would fail, even if electrical power continued, which it probably wouldn't, virtually everything would still break down. Most motorized vehicles have embedded microprocessors. The only cars that would run would be really old. So basically he's saying there's computer chips in everything nowadays. Back in the day, you know, a few scientists, some universities, they would notice, but that's it. Nowadays, if that shit stopped, our whole way of life would be over. So there we go right now. In 1999, you know, 10 years ago, we're already depending heavily on computers and technology.
Well, computers run literally everything these days.
Yeah, exactly. And let's see, he says in 99, the age of the cybernetic artist has begun. It's at a very early stage, though. As with human artists, you never know what these creative systems are going to do next. To date, however, none of them has cut off an ear or run naked through the streets. So that's a little Van Gogh humor, I think. The strength of these systems is reflected by an often startling originality in a turn of phrase or shape or musical line. Their weakness has to do, again, with context or the lack thereof. And, you know, the more these computers, the faster the technology produces itself, the more they're going to learn and the more they're going to have to relate to, pretty much. So, let's see. They're just talking about Turing tests and machines writing jokes. They basically, they give this machine a whole bunch of jokes by a certain artist, and then it takes all the words and everything, the structure, and it writes its own joke. And that's kind of the start. It's not really full-on artificial intelligence, but it's more like word recognition, like they're doing with the facial stuff.
Well, we've been doing that for a long time now.
Right, yeah. And it's they're basically just equating how these are like actual paintings made by a robot and stuff like that. And again, the robots right now still need a lot of human interaction to get them started, to teach them things and that kind of thing. Like the first chess big blue robot, that kind of stuff, they were taught, you know, all the chess moves, the rules of the game, and then you just set it to go and it would basically map out each and every move for each and every position on the game all at once, because, you know, it's a computer.
Yeah, do it instantly.
Yeah. So, predictions of the president of the present, and these, again, are for 99. With the impending millennium change, there are no shortage of anticipations of what the next century will be like. Futurism has a long history, but not a particularly impressive one. One of the problems with predictions of the future is that by the time it's clear that they have had little resemblance to actual events, it's too late to get your money back. Perhaps the problem is that we let just anyone make predictions. Maybe we should require futurism certification to be allowed to prognosticate. One of the requirements could be that in retrospect, at least half of your 10 or more year ahead predictions have not been completely embarrassing. So basically, if you're going to make predictions, make sure you make good predictions. So here it goes into some old predictions that people have made. The telephone has too many shortcomings to be seriously considered as a means of communication. And that was a prediction made by a Western Union executive in 1876. In 1895, Lord Kelvin predicted that heavier-than-air flying machines are not possible, meaning what we have now.
Yeah, airplanes.
Airplanes, which are made of the heaviest of substances on this planet, pretty much, and they fly. So that was bullshit. Albert Abram Michelson, 1903, predicted the most important fundamental laws and facts of physical science have all been discovered. And this is in 1903, he thought that. And these are now so firmly established that the possibility of their ever being supplemented by new discoveries is exceedingly remote, which he was wrong. In 1912, Professor Marshall Fox said airplanes have no military value, and that was proved wrong soon thereafter. Here's a prediction in 1943 from IBM chairman Thomas Watson. I think there's a world market for maybe 5 computers. And now look at it. There's pretty much a computer in every home, and usually multiple computers. 1949, Popular Mechanics predicted that computers in the future may weigh no more than 1.5 tons.
Yeah, this was back when computers
in
took 49. Up a whole room.
Yeah, exactly.
And now you got laptops, which
weigh
I mean,
my
pounds.
Phone is a computer. It weighs less than that. It's ridiculous. See, that's how quickly it just takes off. In 1949, also, John von Neumann said, it would appear that we have reached the limits of what is possible to achieve with computer technology, although one should be careful with such statements as they tend to sound pretty silly in 5 years. And he was pretty right on with that. 1977, Ken Olson predicted there's no reason for individuals to have a computer in their home. Bam.
Yep,
we all have them.
Everyone has one.
1981, Bill Gates said 640,000 bytes of memory ought to be enough for everybody.
That's
for
funny
anybody.
That's funny that Bill Gates said that of all people.
I know, right? But back in 81, they were all just eating acid, smoking weed, having a good time coding up their first or borrowing it from whoever, you know. Alvin Toffler said long before the year 2000, the entire antiquated structure of college degrees, majors, and credits will be in shambles. And now, you know, everybody's kind of goal when they're, you know, growing up, going through high school, is to go to college. And the last one here in 1997, Robert Metcalfe, who was the inventor of Ethernet, he said in 97, the internet will catastrophically collapse in 96. And now, you know, we have the internet everywhere.
It's gotten even bigger since then.
Yep. Okay, so here's some of Kurzweil's predictions for 99. And he kind of tells what happened, because this book, he kind of went back and added things to it as the years went by. His prediction, a computer will defeat the human world chess champion at around 98, and will think less of chess as a result. And what happened, it did happen, but it happened in 99 with Big Blue when it beat Kasparov. Another prediction, there will be a sustained decline in the value of commodities, that is, material resources, with most new wealth being created in the knowledge content of products and services, leading to sustained economic growth and prosperity. What actually happened? As predicted, everything is coming up roses, except also, as predicted, for long-term investors in commodities, which are down 40% over the past decade. Even the approval ratings of politicians going from the president to Congress are at an all-time high, but the strong economy has more to do with the bill in the West Coast, Washington, than the bill in the East Coast, Washington. Blah, 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 blah. Prediction. A worldwide information network linking almost all organizations and tens of millions of individuals will emerge. What happened? The World Wide Web emerged in 94 and took off in 95 through 96, and now we pretty much can't live without it. So basically, he just goes through a bunch of his predictions, and he's been pretty right on with everything. So let's take a look at what he predicted for 2009. The computer itself. In 2009, individuals primarily use portable computers, which have become drastically lighter and thinner than the notebook computers of 10 years earlier. And that's pretty much happening. We have PDAs, handhelds, tablet PCs, iPod touches, you know, things like that. It's happening. He said, personal computers are available in a wide range of sizes and shapes and are commonly embedded in clothing and jewelry such as wristwatches, rings, earrings, and other body ornaments. Computers with a high-resolution visual interface range from rings and pins and credit cards up to the size of a thin book. So pretty much in 09, I guess next year, we should expect to see computers like the size of books with very high-resolution screens. People typically have at least a dozen computers on and around their bodies, which are networked using body LANs, local area networks. These computers provide communication facilities similar to cell phones, pagers, and web surfers, monitor body functions, provide automated identity to conduct financial transactions and allow entry into secure areas, provide directions for navigation, and a variety of other services. And we're already seeing that now in 08. We have our GPS, our PDAs, and all that kind of stuff. Everything, you know, money's starting to kind of go away. People are using debit cards, credit, stuff like that. Let's see. For the most part, these truly personal computers have no moving parts. Memory is completely electronic, and most portable computers do not have keyboards. Rotating memories, that is, computer memories that use a rotating platter such as hard drives, CD-ROMs, and DVDs, are on their way out, although rotating magnetic memories are still used in server computers where large amounts of information are stored. And that's happening now. All the smaller computers are getting flash-based memory drives. Yeah. And that basically means fewer moving parts, less things to break, the more reliable they'll be.
They're working on some other kinds of technologies, too, like, what is it, that crystal hard drives?
Crystal,
you heard of that?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, it's actually... Is
that the one that uses light and kind of stores it in, like, a quartz crystal?
Yeah, exactly.
So I haven't really heard of it.
There's no mechanical parts to it.
That's awesome, yeah. Okay, cables are disappearing, which we're already starting to see.
We got wireless keyboards.
Wireless mice, Bluetooth is a big thing now.
Wireless...
Everything. Yeah, everything pretty much is wireless. Our phone, the whole network of cell phone service, that's all wireless. Communication between components such as pointing devices, microphones, displays, printers, and the occasional keyboard uses short-distance wireless technology, such as Bluetooth, I guess. Computers routinely include wireless technology to plug into the ever-present worldwide network. And that the worldwide network he's talking about is pretty much like the internet we think of today. It's just a big place for all the information that we've converted into digital information to be stored. And everything computerized basically has access to that, which is kind of what's starting to happen. The majority of text is created using continuous speech recognition, CSR, dictation software, but keyboards are still used. And, you know, I can see that. The voice programs now, like Dragon Naturally Speaking, stuff like that, they're still kind of shitty to use. But I'm sure, like, the military and, you know, governments probably have some pretty high-tech shit.
Well, we're starting to get away from the keyboard mouse, actually, with all the touchscreen
computers. Right, yeah, we're starting, instead of pointing and clicking, we're just touching what we want to happen. And then I could see taking away the keyboard and using a microphone as long as your software could recognize your voice and knew what you wanted. Also ubiquitous are language user interfaces, which combine CSR, which is the continuous speech recognition, and natural language understanding. For routine matters such as simple business transactions and information inquiries, the language user interfaces are quite responsive and precise. So they're starting to use that. Computer displays have all the display qualities of paper, high resolution, high contrast, large viewing angle, and no flicker, which we kind of see that now going from the CRT to the LCD, the liquid crystal.
Yeah, no flicker.
It's much more of a high definition media. And then you go from the LCD to the plasma, which is even more. And I can see this pretty much, you know, in the next few years, we're going to be surrounded by these screens. Already you go into airports. Even businesses have big screens for advertisements. It sucks that they're using that kind of shit for advertising, but, you know, that's going to go where the market is.
Wouldn't be surprised if pretty soon we're not using paper at all.
Yeah, he said, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
it's starting to get that way,
you
know?
It's all going to be TVs and stuff.
Yep. Computers routinely include moving picture image cameras and are able to reliably identify their owners from their faces. That's kind of where it starts to get scary.
We have some of that stuff now.
Oh, yeah, like the facial recognition software, yeah. In terms of circuitry, three-dimensional chips are commonly used, and there is a transition taking place from the older single-layer chips. And I think we're still kind of using the single-layer flat motherboard, put the chips on there. Here he's talking about in the next couple years, we're going to start seeing more three-dimensional chips utilizing the three spaces we have in our reality, you could say, you know, our three spatial dimensions and then the one time dimension, which obviously they won't use, but we'll use the spatial dimensions to put chips on. And why the fuck not? I mean, the more chips you can cram on it, the more powerful it'll be. Going to sound producing speakers are being replaced with very small chip based devices that can place high resolution sound anywhere in three dimensional space. This technology is based on creating audible frequency sounds from the spectrum created by the interaction of very high frequency tones. As a result, very small speakers can create very robust three dimensional sound. And again, we're starting to see that. Isn't that scary?
We have those flat speakers.
And they put the sound right where you want it to be, and it's only going to keep getting better. In 08 or 09, I should say, $1,000 worth of personal computing in $1,999 dollars, which are worth a lot more than our '08 dollars.
Sadly.
In $1,000 can perform about a trillion calculations per second. And he's matching that to supercomputers, at least the hardware capacity of the human brain. So that's really scary.
Yeah, that's some crazy shit.
If, like, IBM is creating computers that have the hardware capacity of the brain already in 08, just imagine how much that's going to take off. And he says the human brain has 20 million billion calculations per second. And I'm sure that's not everybody.
Yeah.
Let's see. Unused computes on the internet are being harvested, creating virtual parallel supercomputers with human brain hardware capacity. And we kind of started doing that with the whole folding at home thing, where if you install this program and it links up with a server at some college or university, and they use your spare computer process to map out things. They were using one for the Genome Project. Anything that takes a massive amount of computing power, you can install that on your computer and kind of be a part of it, which I guess is kind of cool, seeing as how we're networking across large distances now.
One of the biggest ones was Cure for Cancer. I think they were using the PS3s.
Right, to see how the cancer itself, how the cells will multiply and spread and evolve even, because, you know, that shit, it's living cells. It's going to evolve to survive, and that's probably why we can't get rid of it. Let's see. Education. In the 20th century, computers in schools were mostly on the trailing edge, with most effective learning from computers taking place in the home. And that's how I learned all my computer shit, just at home messing with it. You know, I didn't learn any of this shit in school. Granted, when I was in school, we had one computer, and it was like an Apple IIc. It was awesome. Let's see. Documents circa 09 routinely include embedded moving images and sounds. We're not quite there yet, but we're getting there. I could see maybe by 2009, at least by 2012, we'll have that kind of shit. Blah, blah, blah. Let's get into disabilities. We don't really care about that. Communication. Translating telephone technology where you speak in English and your Japanese friend hears you in Japanese and vice versa is commonly used for many language pairs. And I don't think we're quite there yet, but I could see it. It's pretty easy to translate, you know, voice like that. You just have to have a database of all the information, which is pretty much what the internet is. And, sorry, guys, if this isn't a very funny episode, but this is shit that we like to talk about for now, so we're going to talk about it. Business and economics. We're going to go ahead and just skip over that. The arts. Warfare. Let's get into warfare. The security of computation and communication is the primary focus of the U.S. Department of Defense. There is general recognition that the side that can maintain the integrity of its computational resources will dominate the battlefield.
That kind of goes back to the articles we were
talking and about. I mean, if your battlefield consists of robots driven by technology, of course you want to keep that secure and keep the integrity intact. I mean, if someone hacks into your system and tells your robots to kill you, they just defeated you using your own shit. And that's fucked up. That's the way to do it, man. Hack someone else's shit that they've already created and turn them against him. Isn't that how John Connor turned the Terminators against the Terminators?
There's a new kind happening. Of terrorism.
I know, right there. Humans are generally far removed from the scene of battle. Warfare is dominated by unmanned intelligent airborne devices. Many of these flying weapons are the size of small birds or smaller. The United States continues to be the world's dominant military power, which is largely accepted by the rest of the world, as most countries concentrate on economic competition. Military conflicts between nations are rare, and most conflicts are between nations and smaller bands of terrorists. The greatest threat to national security comes from bioengineered weapons. And, so let's get on to 2019.
This will be some pretty
Once you get past 2019, 2029, and then he makes predictions for 2099, and this shit just blows your fucking mind. Okay, computer itself. Computers are now largely invisible. Remember, this is 2019. This is about, 10 years from now? A decade?
About.
These aren't exact dates. But it is happening, and it's coming. And when it starts, it is not going to stop. Computers are now largely invisible. They are embedded everywhere in walls, tables, chairs, desks, clothing, jewelry, and bodies. People routinely use three-dimensional displays built into their glasses or contact lenses. These direct eye displays create highly realistic virtual visual environments overlaying the real environment.
Well, we do actually have some stuff
kinda,
like that.
It's like the beginning of virtual reality, but really good virtual reality, not vector-based fucking like the Virtual Boy. Remember that thing?
Yeah, I remember.
That thing was awesome. Oh, and always remember what the common civilian has, computer or technology wise, the government has at least twice as good. So
the government is always ahead.
Oh, well, because that's where all the funding comes from. It's like that's the whole reason they want computers to learn how to play chess, so they can use that for military applications. Let's see. The direct eye displays human And no matter if you're blind or not, basically, the virtual visual environments overlaying the real environment, the display technology projects images directly onto the human retina. So this is like a lens you would put on your eye, and it projects. It's like a little tiny chip, and it projects the image right onto your retina itself, and then your brain processes it.
People might not actually be blind anymore.
Well, no, and that's what it gets into. We're not going to really get into all his predictions, but, you know, the real important ones. And basically, by 2099, disability is a thing of the past. Yeah. They have the implants for hearing, the auditory, and the visual implants, and, you know, it's just – there's no such thing anymore. This display technology projects images directly onto the human retina, and it exceeds the resolution of human vision and is widely used regardless of visual impairment. The direct eye displays operate in three modes. Mode 1, head-directed display. The displayed images are stationary with respect to the position and orientation of your head. When you move your head, the display moves relative to the real environment. This mode is often used to interact with virtual documents. Okay, so that's like just normal virtual display. Or normal display when you're computing, I guess.
Yeah.
And then number two, virtual reality overlay display. The displayed images slide when you move or turn your head so that the virtual people, objects, and environment appear to remain stationary in relation to the real environment, which you can still see. So basically, this just overlays virtual reality on top of reality. So you see virtual things and you see the real thing. So you can walk down the street and be in virtual reality display and... Fuck, man, that's crazy
shit.
Fucking wow. And this is just 10 years away. We're going to see all this shit. We're going to see all this shit in our lifetimes. Unless, you know, the robots kill us first, of course. Let's see. The direct eye display is displaying the image of a person who could be a geographically remote real person engaging in a three-dimensional visual phone call with you or a computer-generated simulated person. That projected person will appear to be in a particular place relative to the real environment that you also see. So you'll be walking down the street and all of a sudden, bling, your virtual friend will be there. But he won't be there in real reality. He'll be there in virtual reality. So, I mean, can you see where this is going to get to? Where you just won't be able to tell the difference between the two. And then the third form, or the third mode that these little lenses are going to have is virtual reality blocking display. And this is the same as the virtual reality overlay display, except that the real environment is blocked out. So all you see is virtual reality. And it says you use this mode to leave real reality and enter a virtual reality environment.
I'll be using that one
fucking
a lot.
Fucking A, dude. That would be so fucking cool. And then here it gets into the auditory part of it. In addition to the optical lenses, there are auditory lenses which place high-resolution sounds in precise locations in a three-dimensional environment. These can be built into eyeglasses, worn as body jewelry, or implanted into the ear canal. Keyboards are rare, although they still exist. Most interaction with computing is through gestures using hands, fingers, and facial expressions, and through two-way natural language spoken communication. And the whole hand gesture thing reminds me of in Minority Report when he has that whole big display and he's moving things with his hands and doing all that. That's probably about what it will end up looking like. Let's see. People communicate with computers the same way they would communicate with a human assistant, both verbally and through visual expression. Significant attention is paid to the personality of computer-based personal assistants. And see right there, we're giving them personalities already. With many choices available, users can model the personality of their intelligent assistants on actual people, including themselves, or select a combination of traits from a variety of both public personalities and private friends and associates. So we're going to have a little virtual assistant, like Microsoft's little paperclip, but we can pretty much make it however we want. We can make it just like us using our own personality profiles, or we can make it like our friends. We can make it like anything, basically. Anything out there on the internet.
Is everything.
Exactly. Eventually, it is going to be everything. Typically, people do not own just one specific personal computer, although computing is nonetheless very personal. Computing and extremely high bandwidth communication are embedded everywhere. Cables have largely disappeared. The computational capacity of a $4,000 computing device, and again, this is in $99, not $08, is approximately equal to the computational capability of the human brain. So right now, say you went to Dell's website or whatever, and you drop $4,000 on a computer, it's going to have, in 2019, it's going to have the power of the human brain, which is 20 million billion calculations per second. Of the total, okay. Rotating memories and other electromechanical computing devices have been fully replaced with electronic devices. Three-dimensional nanotube lattices are now a prevalent form of computing circuitry. That's going to be nuts,
yeah,
dude.
I can't wait for this.
Yeah, in like 10 years, 20 years tops, this is going to start to happen. Significant progress has been made in the scanning-based reverse engineering of the human brain. It is now fully recognized that the brain comprises many specialized regions, each with its own topology and architecture of interneuronal connections. Wow. And you guys will probably just not even want to listen to the rest of this unless any of this should interest you. So, yeah. The massively parallel algorithms are beginning to be understood, and these results have been applied to the design of machine-based neural nets. Skynet.
Yep. I was just thinking that.
Right there. Let's see. Neural is recognized that the human genetic code does not specify the precise interneural wiring of any of the regions, but rather sets up a rapid evolutionary process in which connections are established and fight for survival. The standard process for wiring machine-based neural nets uses a similar genetic evolutionary algorithm. A new computer-controlled optical imaging technology using quantum-based diffraction devices has replaced most lenses with tiny devices that can detect light waves from any angle. These pinhead-sized cameras are everywhere. Autonomous nano-engineered machines can control their own mobility and include significant computational engines. These microscopic machines are beginning to be applied to commercial applications, particularly in manufacturing process control, but are not yet in the mainstream. And then he goes on, and, you know, if you guys are interested in this, read the book. It is an awesome book. What's it called?
The Age of Spiritual Machines.
Right, When Computers Exceed Human Intelligence.
By Ray Kurzweil.
So let's get on to what warfare here is going to be like in 2019. The primary threat to security comes from small groups combining human and machine intelligence using unbreakable encrypted communication. These include 1, disruptions to public information channels using software viruses, and 2, bioengineered disease agents. Most flying weapons are tiny, some as small as insects, with microscopic flying weapons being researched. Okay.
Just imagine what security is going to be like.
Oh, I know. It's all going to be on... It's going to be in your body eventually. It'll be nano... You know, that's where the nanotechnology is going to go. So that he goes through, he kind of goes back and forth after all his predictions, and he has in all the categories, we're not going to read them all because we want to probably keep this episode under a couple hours, but he goes through, you know, communication, business and economics, politics and society, the arts, warfare, health and medicine, and philosophy. And he does that for each of the decades. And it's so interesting to read if you're into this kind of stuff. And then he goes through and pretends like he's talking to someone from that year, and she's evolving in each of these decades. So it's really interesting to see how she's getting along and all that good stuff. So now let's go to 2029. We'll talk about the computer itself, get into probably the warfare part, and and then that'll be then we'll be on to 2099. All right. The computer itself, in 2029, a $1,000 unit of computation in $1999 has the computing capacity of approximately 1,000 human brains. That's 2 times 10 to the 19th power calculations per second. The vast majority of computes of non-human computing is now conducted on massively parallel neural nets. So it looks like neural net technology is where this is all going to go. And that's only common sense if you look at how the brain works. And our brain is basically just a neural net. It's just a network of neural, you know, synapses and whatnot, just firing. And the ones that fire and get a good response get stronger. The ones that fire and get a weak response get weaker. And that's how the brain evolves. It's kind of very scaled out. Let's see. The vast majority of computes, non-human computing, is now conducted on massively parallel neural nets, much of which is based on the reverse engineering of the human brain. Many, but less than a majority, of the specialized regions of the human brain have been decoded, and their massively parallel algorithms have been deciphered. So we're basically figuring out how the brain works, why it does what it does, which regions cause us to feel all these different things, and we're putting that into a mechanical neural net, which is Skynet to you and me. The number of specialized regions amounting to hundreds is greater than what was anticipated 20 years earlier, which is basically in our time. The topologies and architectures of those regions have been successfully reverse engineered and are used in machine-based neural nets. The machine-based nets are substantially faster and have greater computing and memory capacities and other refinements compared to the human analogs. So basically in 2029, the computers we create will be smarter than us. And that is scary.
And that is when we die.
Right. Let's see. Displays are now implanted in the eyes with a choice of permanent implants or removable implants, kind of like contacts. Images are projected directly onto the retina, providing the usual high-resolution three-dimensional overlay on the physical world. These implanted visual displays also act as cameras to capture visual images and thus are both input and output devices. So basically, you can record your day and then go back later in your brain and watch it. So that, you will never forget anything. Your day-to-day life, everything will be recorded, and it will be accessible. And that is kind of scary.
That'll get podcasting huge, maybe.
Fucking A, man. It'd be so much easier than while I'm trying to write down ideas while I'm driving. cochlear implants, originally used for just the hearing impaired, are now ubiquitous. That means everyone's using them. These implants provide auditory communication in both directions between the human user and the worldwide computing network. Direct neural pathways have been perfected for high bandwidth connection to the human brain. This allows bypassing certain neural regions, for example, visual pattern recognition and long-term memory, and augmenting or replacing the functions of these regions with computing performed either in a neural implant or externally. So basically, we're going to be able to think faster, learn things, kind of learn things quicker, but it's all going to be all mechanical based.
Yeah. Well, when we're implanting these computers in our brains and stuff.
Well, yeah,
like that,
and wait till what he predicts for 2099. I mean, it's there pretty much. Let's see. A range of neural implants is becoming available to enhance visual and auditory perception and interpretation, memory, and reasoning. So you can upgrade all those things in your brain. Computing processes can now be personal, accessible by one individual, shared, or universal. At the user's option, three-dimensional projected holographic displays are everywhere. Microscopic nano-engineered robots now have microbrains with the computing speed and capacity of the human brain. So we've put our human brain, we've nano-engineered it to be nano, to be tiny, and we're putting it in these little tiny robots that are pretty much everywhere now. Let's see, communication. In addition to the ubiquitous three-dimensional virtual environments, there's been significant refinement to three-dimensional holographic technology for visual communication. There's also projected sonic communication for precisely placing sounds in three-dimensional space. Again, they're just totally refining these things now. Similar to virtual reality, much of what is seen and heard in real reality also has no physical counterpart. Thus, family members can be sitting around the living room enjoying one another's company without being physically proximate. So now you can hang out with anybody and not have to be there with them,
right?
Physically. All these technological advancements are just going to take away any kind of limits or boundaries we have on life, basically. Blah blah blah, health and medicine, philosophy, blah blah blah. All right, let's go to 2099 because this is running way long. And here are his predictions for 2099. Human thinking is merging with the world of machine intelligence that the human species initially created. So we're basically, we created this machine intelligence, and now we're going to merge it with our own brains. And basically, I think that right there is how you live forever. You just upload, you scan your brain in non-invasively, so you can do it while you're alive, and you upload that into a mechanical neural net, and bam, there you go.
Wow,
just like that. Amazing, isn't it? The reverse engineering of the human brain appears to be complete. The hundreds of specialized regions have been fully scanned, analyzed, and understood. Machine analogs are based on these human models, which have been enhanced and extended, along with many new massively parallel algorithms. So basically, we took our brains, we put them into this machine neural net, and then we've expanded on our capabilities because it's all electronic now, and we can do any of that. Machine-based intelligences derived entirely from these extended models of human intelligence claim to be human, although their brains are not based on carbon-based cellular processes, but rather electronic and photonic equivalents. So now our machines think they're human. They've become self-aware. They know they're alive. You could call this consciousness, if that's your definition of it.
That's when it gets scary,
too. Fucking A. And 2099, I mean, by if all this happens around the time he says it'll happen, we will probably see this shit. And yep. That's fucked up.
I mean, the years that this stuff happened is never exact.
No,
but it's a few years with either way.
All it's going to be is as soon as we figure out the whole neural net thing, it's going to totally take off from there. The law of accelerating returns is going to just suck it all in and boom, we're going to be robots pretty much. Let's see. I totally lost my spot. The number of software-based humans vastly exceeds those still using native neuron cell-based computation. So there's more fake people than real people now.
Wow.
In 2099.
We're outnumbered.
I know, totally. And, you know, all they have to do is hit Control-C, Control-V, copy and paste, and bam, there's two more non-human intelligences.
Wow.
Just like that. I know. Fucked up shit. Pretty this is what blew my mind when I read this book. I was just like, fucking wow.
Pretty soon they're going to be control deleting us.
No, pretty soon they're going to be like, this task is non-responsive, end task, and then that's it. Your task will have been ended. Bye-bye. Software-based intelligence is able to manifest bodies at will, one or more virtual bodies at different levels of virtual reality, and nano-engineered physical bodies using instantly reconfigurable nanobot swarms. Even among those human intelligence still using carbon-based neurons, there's ubiquitous use of neural implant technology, which provides enormous augmentation of human perceptual and cognitive abilities. Basically, we're just using this technology to extend our own.
Yeah.
And, oh, wow. Humans who do not utilize such implants are unable to meaningfully participate in dialogues with those who do. So if you don't get in this now, it's totally going to leave you behind. And that's it. You're going to go underground like the Matrix people, and the rest of the world's going to be living in the Matrix. Fucking fantastic. Humans who do not. There are a multiplicity of ways in which these scenarios are combined. The concept of what is human has been significantly altered. The rights and powers of different manifestations of human and machine intelligence and their various combinations represent a primary political and philosophical issue, although the basic rights of machine-based intelligence have been settled. There is a plethora of trends that we can already taste and feel in 2099 that will continue to accelerate in this coming 22nd century, interacting with each other and everything else around us. And that is fucked up. Doesn't that just blow your mind?
Yeah,
where we're going with technology?
Kind of almost makes me glad that I will probably not be alive in that time.
No, you probably will be. By the time you're a little younger than me, I think so.
I sure hope not.
I think so. So, yeah, that's some Ray Kurzweil predictions. Sorry if you guys were kind of bored by that, but I think it is very interesting, and we do need to be aware of it because it is happening. And like I said, once it happens, it's just going to take off. So it's about all the time we have here on the Jam Hole, episode 6 for March 5th, 2008. Don't forget, we're on iTunes now, so go ahead and subscribe. The more subscriptions we have, leave us some comments, write us some reviews. Make sure you click the link on the show notes for all the shows to go to Podcast Alley. Vote for us. If you want to MySpace us, it's myspace.com/thejamholepodcast until that gets shut down. But so far, we're still there. We're everywhere. We're jamming. Yeah. You got anything else?
Nope. I think that's it.
That's it, man. Jamming.